Wona, what's happening? This is Monogamous Kyle Smith, speaking from the future about the past and the present. Me and Buck shoot the shit. We talk comedy in L.A. Enjoy these words. You can follow me at monogamous.com. Monogamous on Instagram. MANIACALMENACE. It's time to blow this scene. Get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
What's up? God damn it, welcome back to another episode of Tell Me a Joke. Man, we here. It's a guideline. Chasing the dream. I'm here with one of my good friends, Jeff Buck.
Yo, what's up?
How's it been, Jeff?
It's been good. Just got back from the beach.
We did. We had a good day today. Well, it was a good rest of the day.
It was a good day. It was a long day.
You've been at the beach since, like, earlier this day.
Yeah, I started early. I had a long beach day. I don't have a lot of beach days. I live not far from the beach. I feel like I need more beach days.
Since you've been out here, how many times have you been to the beach to say that the beach ain't really that far?
This is probably my third or fourth time at the beach. Fourth time at the beach.
Ain't that crazy? I've been here for at least going on 6 months now. And this is the first time I ever got to the water.
What?
Ever. Yeah.
We were in that water. We should have brought the boogie board.
I should have. It was a bad mistake that I did not bring the boogie board. I'm upset. I was thinking about going back tomorrow, but I don't know if I want to go back out there tomorrow.
It's a trek.
It is a trek.
It's like you got to cross a desert to get to the water.
That is true.
There's a lot of homeless people out there on the beach.
Lots of homeless out here.
They got their own little community. It's kind of fun to just blend in with them. I feel like I look homeless. So
it looks like they hurt.
They do look like they're in constant pain.
Yeah.
And one of them, there was an iron trade going on. They found some metal, some iron. And they were bartering metal. And I thought, that's cool. If I'm ever homeless, I know to pick up iron.
I guess. But what shit, I work on construction sites. I looked at that shit that she had. I'm like, you ain't gonna get much for it.
Yeah.
If you want, I mean, unless somebody wanted to use it for something.
I think one of the homeless guys said he was gonna use it as a sword.
He said it looked like a sword when she was going to pull out, because it did. It looked like a two-edged, a double-bladed sword, and you're fucking two-sided. But she didn't look like she was a boss with it or nothing like that. It didn't look like she was about to fuck nobody up.
She was real excited about it. She was like, I like iron. This is good iron right here.
I don't even know what
is good iron?
She reminded me of, like, she had the toes of a leprechaun from the Leprechaun. Remember?
Yeah.
Warwick Davis when he played Leprechaun.
Yeah, that movie freaked me out.
She had some really fucked up toes, and it really bothered me that she had toes fucked up like that.
It's weird how there's just like every spectrum of human being out there on the beach, from like gorgeous to hideous in a sense of appearance.
Very much so. Very much so. You got beautiful people out there, and then you got really gross motherfuckers out there.
All beautiful with the soul, I'm sure.
Maybe. Maybe. Out here is a little different. What's with the fireworks? Why are they always shooting fireworks out here?
It's summertime in L.A. They just love fireworks.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Isn't it illegal out here?
I don't know.
Oh, you know what is legal, though?
Huh.
The motherfuckers, you don't really drive as much, but the motherfuckers, the people on the bicycle, on the motorbikes.
Just driving between lanes?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it's legal like a motherfucker, but in other places, it's not legal. You can't do that in other places. That's wild.
Yeah.
That's wild. This is a podcast about, man, basically the struggle of what it takes to go ahead and be successful at what we're doing, whatever your craft might be.
We're struggling right now. Ooh. I mean, Little Caesar's Pizza.
Let them know about the struggle. First off, how long you been doing comedy for?
Me?
Yeah, you. Yeah. Jeff been in the game for a long fucking time.
I don't know.
Jeff been doing this. Jeff is basically like our Dave Chappelle. kind of, sort of. Meaning that you started at a very early age.
Yeah, I started when I was... Technically, I produced my own comedy show at age 14 at an all-age comedy venue in Baton Rouge. I started producing shows ever since. Once I turned 18, I started doing a lot more. Yeah, all around Baton Rouge. Then moved to New Orleans, started doing it there. Traveled a lot. Been to New York and LA and Chicago and the Gulf South and all around, just traveling with it.
When did you know that this is what you wanted to do?
What's that?
Comedy. You're a comedian. You're a comedian, but you also rap. You have more than one facet.
Yeah, I'll like do sketches and improv and music and I stretch my comedy throughout, but stand up as well. I think the first time I knew I wanted to do it for like the rest of my life was I did a talent show in the fifth grade.
In the fifth grade? And
I got third place. Oh. I lost to some dude that just sang the Animaniacs song.
Really? Wait, did he do the States?
Like the States.
Yeah. Oh, now that's impressive.
Yeah,
though.
But it's not like his song. It's not an original. His. You know, I've wrote an original sketch comedy. I remember putting up a sketch with some of my friends. Their name was Corey and James. And we did a sketch of like Steve Irwin on an airplane, and he was like wrestling an alligator that got on an airplane. It was basically like snakes on a plane with Samuel Jackson, with those gators on a plane. And this is before that movie ever came out.
What, Crawl? Oh, you're talking about Snakes on a Plane.
Yeah, yeah, this is fifth grade.
Crawl wasn't a bad movie.
Bootlegging
is the way to go. For certain things, I don't bootleg everything, but just certain things, niggas do that.
Don't bootleg this podcast. Buy it up off the shelf.
Like, get it. God damn it.
Like my boy Boosie would say, you know, you got to get this CD off the shelf.
Free Jeff Buck.
But yeah, fifth grade, I did a talent show, won third place, got a little money. I was like, man, I can just get money for doing comedy. And then, no, you only get paid for comedy in fifth grade. At talent shows, you rarely ever get paid for it again.
It took me a long time before I got anything from a talent show. I think the first time I got paid was when I was with John out at some old place. It was a very some place where they had a bunch of old folks after a fucking wedding or some stupid shit. And we each got paid, we each got paid $100. And I was like, oh, shit.
That was pretty good. Yeah, the little small town gigs pay the most.
Oh, it was nice. It was nice. And
because there's nothing coming through those towns. They're like, oh, you're a comedian? You might have been on TV once?
Yeah.
good enough. We'll pay you $100. We just need you to entertain. We need you to fill time.
That was the first time I ever had to deal with, like, an older audience. I'm like, oh, no. Oh, well, man. They're going to think this is adorable. I had a bit about... me being having to dress up in like Barney costumes and stuff like that, and I was a Power Ranger. And I told that joke to these old folks, and it was like, "Oh my god, you were adorable!" Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, adorable's fine. I'll take it.
I did a show for a bunch of like older people. It was like a wine bar. I was probably 19, I think. Corey Mack was hosting. It was me, Corey Mack, Jeff D. It was at the Obelisk in Mandeville. It was a wine bar. It's no longer open. And this lady there just loved me. She was like, oh, you remind me of your son. And I was just like being super cocky and flirtatious as like a young 20-year-old or whatever.
Yeah.
And I just remember saying something like, oh, you know, like, yeah, maybe I can go back home and do a performance there for you too. And then after I'm done, I'll tell some jokes. And like everyone thought it was the funniest thing ever. I don't know.
That's nice.
Yeah, that
feeling that you get when you get on stage, it's probably it is the reason why we just continue to do this, because it's fucking wild when we do something. Like, it's crazy that, you know, we go up to these unsuspecting people
and just tell them jokes.
And tell them some silly shit that we think is funny.
Yeah, it's fun. It's great I love attention. I'm not going to lie. I like being the center of attention sometimes. And so the thrill of like
everyone, we gotta have some type of narcissism about us.
It's great just like having all eyes on you and you be able to share a moment of your life or a good joke, and everyone just being able to enjoy it.
When you write that one good joke and you just can't wait to tell it on stage, that feeling right there, that's like,
I have one of those now.
That feeling of one of those really good jokes that you can't wait to get on stage. It's See, that's the struggle of it right there. And being out here in L.A. All right, so I've just recently moved out here. If you listen, you've been listening. This is I've only been out here for 5 months. And five going on six. And it is... It's a struggle because it's not like New Orleans. It's not like where we come from. Jeff being part of the Baton Rouge scene and me being part of the Louisiana, New Orleans scene. It's... Out here, it's fucking... No one cares. I mean, I guess they care, but it you don't have... They don't have a passion. Like, it's just different.
Different. It's more of a business, I feel like, in the sense of, like, there's... It's so big that everyone's got their own little path they can take. If you want to be an Instagram comedian, you can go on stage and be an Instagram comedian. If you want to be... Yeah, it's just different because we come from a smaller community where it's more tight-knit and everyone knows everyone and everyone cares about each other. Where everyone here, I feel like it's so big, it's mostly just like, oh, you do comedy? Cool. What have you done? Nothing I know of.
Everybody looking for credits and shit. We're not going
to work together unless I know what you've done or I know... You know, it's kind of more of a business state of mind, it feels like.
Yeah, it's too busy out here. Everybody's doing something. And it's not like... Everybody is working. They're working on their craft, but it's not like they're here just for stand up. Some people are here just as an out, using stand up as an outlet, just to be like, oh, well, I'm acting, but this is what my acting coach told me to do. I should go do stand up, and it doesn't seem genuine to some people out here. It seems like just a waste of time. It's like all of y'all are out here, but not all of y'all are out here to chase that same dream. Like, some people are out here...
Yeah, I mean, you find a lot of actors that are just, like, their manager or agents. Like, oh, you should try stand-up. It'll help you. So you have a lot of people going and doing stand-up that aren't necessarily true to the craft of stand-up. It's more like, oh, I've been on TV, and I feel like I can make money doing stand-up. I think it's interesting. But they're not stand-ups. They're actors, or they're comedians... Comedic actors or comedic musicians.
Somebody coming out here reciting a dialogue. It's like, but you're not creating your own.
Yeah, and there's space for that. And I mean, that's kind of what's cool about LA is there is that space for that. If that's your thing, come out here and do it here.
It's so expensive out here. Like, you have to have more than just one outlet. You have to have one source of income, more than one outlet that you're using to try to reach people. Because if you just do one, it's you'll get lost. You'll get fucking lost with the fish out here, and it's nerve wracking. It's upsetting at times. Like, it's a slow process, which is understood. I understood that I was gonna be like this when I got out here, but I just figured it'd be funner. Like, I would be able to enjoy it like I did back at home. I can't enjoy this out here. You know, I haven't done stand. I haven't been up on stage to do stand-up. Stand-up in, like, I'd say about a week and a half.
Yeah.
And that feels terrible. Because we're used to fucking going up every night, maybe twice, three times a night, right. Four times, depending on, you know.
Yeah, it's just a different culture, different community.
I fucking hate it, Jeff. Fucking hate it.
You
got to
make the best of it. You got to find those people or find that.
Out here has been more poetry for me. I've been doing a shitload of poetry mics, going, and it's very receptive at a poetry mic because people are there to listen. They're there to be attentive to what the poet's about to say, and then, you know. Being able to do the mixture of both comedy and poetry, that is just, it's like a gold mine right now. It's been what's giving me my fix. I've been needing to get my goddamn fix out here, and it's hard to get my fix when, you know, fucking comedy is neither here nor there. It's so hard to come by because, I mean, the mics out here, they're just, if you want to go ahead and just explain what the mics feel like to you out here.
Yeah, they can be rough. I mean, I'm starting to just find my neighborhood mics that are kind of like...
Decent enough. Huh?
Decent, yeah. There's just like two in the neighborhood that I go and hit. I have my 2 days out of the week that I go do them. So I've kind of gotten used to it, but it is a struggle, especially when I first got out here, just like going to every mic and trying to find which mic works and which mic is the one that is the best to hang out at, but I realize it's hard.
No hangouts out here.
Yeah, there's no like hangout mics. It's different because it's not really comedians hanging out with each other. It's comedians going to try their things and then going back to do whatever they
do. They were doing.
Which is fine. I mean, it's just different, and that's
very
it's
hard
a
to keep
different
up
lifestyle.
With people.
So I'm starting to just treat it as what it is out here and do my 2 to 3 times a week. But yeah, I mean, usually you have to pay $5. You wait way too long to go up and do 3-5 minutes. No one's really ever listening to you. The crowds here aren't genuine for open mics because
most of not crowds. They're just open micers.
But yeah, I mean, why would there be a crowd? Because there's so many shows in LA where you can see the best comedy. Why would you go to an open mic to gamble on it? So I get it from the audience perspective. Why would I want to go to an open mic out here when I can just go to the Comedy Store or go anywhere where there's guaranteed good comedy on a book show?
I'm honestly feeling like I made a terrible decision coming out here, but I understand that like something called me out here. Like I was supposed to, this is where I was supposed to be. Like this is comedy college, basically. And
yeah, you're just not gonna.
One of us was high school. This is college, and I'm in my goddamn freshman year right now.
Yeah,
I'm learning the ropes.
Yeah, just trying to have an optimistic outlook on it. Of it's just different, is all it is. There's no going to mics out here. You can go to a mic and get a little stage time here and there, but it's not gonna be as lucrative for you as it was at a smaller scene, because at a smaller scene you get more stage time and it's more accessible.
You get more eyes on you.
Here it's more of just, okay, let me go up and see if this sounds good out loud to
either
myself.
That or who you know or who told somebody about
here,
you.
Yeah, if you really want stage time, you just have to do the work of emailing people and getting on book shows and going to showcases. Showcases are the bigger things out here, and you got to treat those like, obviously do your best work at them, but treat
you
them
gotta
like a mic.
You
got
to do the work out here.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you do. And I mean, if you can't do the work, then you can't come out here. But I guess that's a part of the learning curve out here, is like learning to do that work. And like, if you can learn to do that work and be good at comedy, then I feel like you're an unstoppable force. Because
I seen on Facebook, somebody said, oh, don't go to LA unless you're a traveling comic. And it's like, it doesn't really need to. That's not a necessity. It'd be good to have like a resume of whatever you're doing, like, you know, film credits.
Yeah. Just have credits
well,
and stuff.
Not necessarily credit, but just like something to back you up, something that you that shows that you have actually been putting in the work.
Yeah.
You know, because like New Orleans, you don't really get no credits down there. You can go ahead and name some shit like House of Blues and all that other things that people know, you know, but it's not like credits that you would have out here. Like motherfuckers been doing commercials and shit, you know, so.
Right. Yeah, you just got to find out who's booking the shows, though. Talk to them and. I mean, you're well represented in your scene, and you've been doing it long enough to where you probably know someone that they know. Hey, I've worked with a lot of the comedians that you book, and yeah, I don't know, here's a video. Even sometimes going out to, if you know a comedian that gets booked there a lot, reach out to them and just be like, hey, can you vouch to the booker for me? And sometimes
right.
I will. You just gotta know how to talk to people and be genuine
the
with
ins
them.
And outs.
Yeah, but I mean, also it's like we've put in time and. Mm. I've done comedy for a long time, so we have that skill set.
Right.
I feel like if you're brand new coming out here, it's going to be a lot harder.
What keeps you going? What keeps you wanting to do this? Like, what makes... Because this is wild, son. This
I'm still
is,
having a... I'm doing the... I've got my cheese podcast. I'm doing it. And
so much shit. He's doing so many things. God damn it. You've always done so much shit.
Yeah,
though.
And I'm enjoying my job. So it's like... And I'm still writing for the show that I'm... The Morph show in New Orleans that's going on. Still writing their sketches for that every now and then. And so I'm still writing comedy and still being creative on my own terms. Basically building my own stages rather than trying to find someone else's stage. Working on putting together a showcase out here. Just talking to people, seeing how they did it. How their formula of success was when they first come in. Everyone's like, oh, give it a year. It's the first year is always the hardest. And,
yeah.
You know, they're always very vague about that.
Somebody
like,
say, oh, the first 6 months.
Yeah, I don't like... I agree with that, but I don't feel like that's yes and no. I mean, it's like...
Everyone's different, but of course it's going to take you a year
just to move somewhere. I feel like it's hard to like adjust after you move somewhere brand new.
Definitely going to be difficult.
You got
to
get your life together. You got to get a job. You got to get your insurance done. You got to get comfortable before you can really start getting out there totally. So Yeah, I mean, a year makes sense. It's like watching The American Office. Like, give it the first season. It's
give it suck. The first season.
It's going to suck a little bit, but it'll get better after
it's
that.
It's definitely going to suck. It's sucking. I give an update. Update. I am down to 4 payday loans.
Oh.
Or I think it's 5. I think I got rid of 2. I'm down to 5 payday loans. Boom. Come on now. We working. Getting that debt clear, goddammit. I'm doing good at work. Yeah, that's good. They had me work on a
that's
Saturday.
What I'm saying. You gotta get all your ducks in a row first, and then it'll be easier to go spend those $5 at Mike's.
It's hard to be positive knowing that shit is very shitty. You know, I mean, I go places, people like, oh, you always so happy. Yeah, but on the inside, nigga, it's terrible.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, we out here working. It's a grind, goddammit. It was nice just to go to the beach today after work, because that's a privilege that you can do just something for free.
Yep.
All I need to do is drive there all the way to the beach and just get in the
drive.
Water.
You can take a bus.
That's true. That's true.
You don't have to drive. $1.75 on the bus. Boom. Got me to the beach today.
How long was that bus ride?
About 40 minutes.
40-minute bus ride. Does it go through traffic?
Yeah, I mean, it just goes straight down Venice, and it stops and picks people up, stops, pick people up.
40-minute bus ride. That's nice, though. That gets you around. See, you know the city better than I do. I feel like driving
is a hard thing to do.
Oh, my God. Fuck.
Unless you're, like...
Fuck everybody.
Unless you're very...
And see, the thing is...
Wealthy and you can afford...
I don't know who the fuck the terrible drivers are out here, because I rarely see anybody from Los Angeles. I rarely see an Angelino. Yeah. I rarely know any Angelinos. I know, like, 2 of them. And I know a lot of people out here now. And I'm like, is it all the transplants that are coming out here driving shitty?
Probably. I don't think there's so many... Yeah, I think it's just, like... Just too many people causes bad driving all around. And then there's people that are bad drivers that think other people are bad drivers. And it's just people pointing fingers all around. No one wants to drive the way they want to drive.
It's fucked up out here with all the road systems and shit. I don't know how they expect it. It's like a little child just came and started connecting fucking blocks and roads. And look, we're going to put a city right here. It's wild. It's like, I don't know how anybody gets around without the GPS. It'd be fucking baffling to me that people don't use their GPS out here. Even if you're from here, it seems like you still need your GPS on. But niggas did it before.
Yeah, I don't know. You got a routine. You know your way around, I guess.
Yeah, I do. I know my way to work and shit and back home.
Right.
But I'm always there, so that's the only reason why. It ain't bad, though. It's not terrible out here. Just, you know, of course you're going to go through some shit before shit gets good. And shit's starting to get good. Shit's starting to look up, you know.
It's an uphill battle, but it works.
I prefer to actually, you know, be on a show instead of go and do open mics. So that's going to be my goal now,
yeah,
is just to get on
shows.
More shows.
And that's how I treat it, is like, if I have... On my terms, an open mic time, like if there's a night where it's convenient for me to go, I'll go do it. I might end up in a part of town one night, be like, oh, there's an open mic tonight, I'll pop in and do it. But I'm never going to try and, like, break my neck going to open mic. So I'll break my neck and go to a showcase. Now it's just, like, I'm just trying to get booked on stuff and take what I can get. I might only do, like, 2 shows a month. And that's fine.
It's something. That's something.
It's better than nothing, because I'm still being creative in other ways as well. I know stand-up will... I think it'll come more frequently later on.
Yeah.
So I can't really... Since I'm not able to get that time, I could just sit here and be frustrated
about
it.
We threw ourselves in the blender.
Or I can use my time to fill another creative thing, since I'm not able to get that stage time that I want. I'm not going to let it defeat me. I'm going to keep... creating something that'll only benefit both realms,
yeah,
and build me up.
Now we just gotta get part of the mix. That's all. It's nice. I do poetry mainly just because the memorization of my poems and shit. I go up there and I try to have my poems memorized. So, I'm banking up a repertoire now, and I'm loving it.
Yeah, man, that's quality station. I mean, that can blend in with your stand-up.
Yeah,
you could
definitely.
Always weave in and out of those things.
Definitely. Yeah, I bring my form of stand-up with me over to the poetry side. So it's always like an extravagant performance whenever I'm, you know, giving off, reading, you know, one of my poems or something like that. And I think I would probably do, maybe since this is my podcast, I'd probably put a poem at the end. I've been writing one for this particular podcast, and I'll probably, like a few episodes later, I'll probably put one up at the end or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been nice. This is another outlet that a motherfucker needs to have just so people can get to know you.
Right.
Just so people can see who the fuck you really are. And, hey, you know, not every outlet gets looked at. I'm on another podcast called the MHOG Podcast. And, so you can check them out. And from time to time, I'm on there. That's a wild show as well. But shit, you just gotta. This is who we are. This is the people that we are gonna be. We're gonna put ourselves out there for your entertainment. Motherfuckers love comedy. Motherfuckers love to laugh and shit. I think this is what I was bred to do since I was young. Like, who are your inspirations? Like, who's inspired you since you was little?
I remember when I was really little, I was into that Pablo Francisco special.
Oh, yeah?
I used to love his Comedy Central special when I was younger.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's funny.
I enjoyed Pablo Francisco.
The impressions he did, like his voice work.
Yeah.
He was always really good. I remember being really into that.
He was just on Joey Diaz. Man, an impressionist to me, that shit there is very... it intrigues me because it's like, how do you go to that exact voice? If you have more than one of those voices as well, how do you go to that exact voice? You know, how do you remember that? That's just another part of memorization of the brain,
to
me.
Great character work.
Yeah.
Great memory. Yeah, it's a good talent, skill set to have. And that's the thing is, like, I'm sure, say you're a Pablo Francisco type, someone that does a lot of voices in their act, and you're not getting the stage time for open mics, you could still bring those voices to other creative outlets as well. You could just, especially nowadays, the way the internet works, there's Instagram and Snapchat and all these like things you can make little videos, viral videos, and use that as content to put out there into the world. It might not be as in person and as one-on-one, but it's still...
Small grinds count, goddammit.
Yeah, and so like, that's something that while
every
you're doing it,
a hustle.
Is also helping you expand on it. Say you're just making videos of your characters and their voices to just put on Instagram. You're not only getting to share it with people, but you're also getting to rehearse it and practice it before you bring it onto stage as well. So I think it's just, it's a good thing to do. A great way to get your name out there.
Definitely. First and last, you ever thought about using any type of your name is just so perfect though, like Jeff Buck.
Oh, like a moniker is what you're asking, like a different name?
Yeah, like an alias or something like that, or Nikki.
Never really thought about it. Always was just like, oh, this is just me. Even when I do the comedy raps, where the raps are satirical and sometimes out of character, still just my name. But maybe on that song, I might introduce myself as somebody else in character for that song. But yeah, I just put it out there under my name. Just, this is the type of stuff I do.
Huh.
Yeah, I don't know.
That makes it seem pretty fun. So whenever you get into characters, well...
I mean, just like, I don't know. Like, I recently did a song called DIY Gang. And the intro of the song, even though I put it out there as like, Jeff Buck, DIY Gang... The song immediately is just like someone as a character
DIY Shorty. When you write these songs, how do you come up with... Do you come up with the premise, or do you like sketch it out in your head and then you write like...
So I usually have
write something for it?
Yeah, I might have like a premise like that I flesh out with the song. So I usually
use Evernote.
Yeah, I use Evernote. So I'm looking at Evernote now to kind of give you an example. So I have like a master rap premise file, where I just kind of keep all the raps and stuff I've written down, but like say, and also like some premises. So I don't know. I put down recently waxing poetic, which is
waxing poetic.
Yeah, you know the term like waxing poetic. Like I wax poetic makes it sound. You're making something sound romantic, so to speak. Like, oh, the way he talks, he's waxing poetic, you know? Okay. But I was thinking about doing a rap song, which I guess essentially, like, rap is waxing poetic, right? But it would be about my body hair, and then the music video would be me getting body waxed. So the rap song would be called Waxing Poetic, and it would just me trying to rap while getting a wax done. So I'd just be, like, yelling throughout the rap.
Steve Corral going on.
And now I haven't written that. That's just a premise. Now, if I found, like, a beat, usually I have, like, some friends that I work with. They'll send me beats, and I listen to a beat and be like, okay, this is an idea I have. Let me listen to the music and then write out something around that.
How you find that makes it a little bit easier whenever there's a beat to it, because the beat can always tell a story.
Something, and also you can kind of feel the style of what it is too. Like, I've got a song called that I'm working on called I'm Just Tripping, huh? Tripping is what it's called, and it's like I'm working on it with a couple different artists, and their point of view on the song is like, oh, they're tripping on drugs, and they're like fucked up. Whereas me, like, I'm tripping, but it's just like I've mixed up Dennis Rodman with Scottie Pippen. I must be tripping. Just doing small things like, oh, I must be tripping, huh? And so it's like, yeah, I thought I saw your girl last night at the club stripping.
You being racist.
I must be tripping. Yeah, right.
You can't tell.
Yeah. Well, I thought I saw your girl at the night.
Different black
guy. The other
guy.
Night stripping. I must be tripping. He's like, wait, what? And like, that interrupts on the chorus. Like, wait, what? You did? Nah, I must be tripping, huh? No, like, she said she was somewhere last night. I must be tripping. It's just like this weird song about. And so, anyways, the beat of that song is kind of like a more like, I guess, like trippy, jazzy, hip hop thing, to where it'd be like, oh, some, like, if you could put like Currency on it, or someone that smokes a lot of weed, or someone that might rap about mushrooms, like Mod Sun, or like someone in that realm of rap, to where it's like, oh, this is like a trippy type beat.
Yeah.
So that accompanies this song.
I've had this guy. I met him at the Tribal Cafe. And he makes beats and all that. He produces. And he took me over to his place, and we went to go. He was like, man, you write a song, write a silly rap and all that. And I was like, well, you know, that's not what I do, because he's seen my poems and all that. And I was like, you know, this is what I do. I don't really try to put beats to my shit, because when people listen to the words, plus it's more of a difficulty adding addition that I don't listen to a beat when I do it. It's just something that I'm making up. And so he was like, man, just try this. And I was like, all right. And he put on a beat. And I found that even though what I did write was still in, like, poetic form, it was a little easier to write because the beat was on. And I always find that it is a little bit easier to write. And I wrote By My Thin Mints.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that was, it was.
Can you do it right now?
By My Thin Mints. Yeah. I need to make a quota, because I'm trying to get this badge, add another slash to the sash. Basically, it tells a story of this little girl trying to get some money.
Yeah.
So she's going to coax people into buying her Thin Mints. But what she does is, like, she tells real sob stories, and then she ups the price. And just so, you know, inflation, but she basically wants to take over like Oprah. And so it just kind of goes down that route. So that's probably, I could probably do that at the end. I'll put that one up.
I have a song called Guacamole.
Huh.
That I just written. It's about like balling on a very minimum budget. Like I can't drop $100 bills at the club. But I could buy guacamole for the taco. You know
what I mean? Because guac is always extra.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I wonder if I recite it without the beat. It's similar to like poetry, but it's like, I know the guac is extra. I'll buy it anyway. I'm balling every day, small scale in every way. I can't remember it. But if I had the beat, I bet I could hit a flawless.
Right, ain't that weird?
Yeah, it was.
It's like there's like a cadence or a different type of muscle memory. Last night when I was trying to recite some poems, I was trying to recite a poem in my head just so next time when I go out to the mic, I had this poem fresh and ready. So what I did was I worked out, and I fucking took my weights, and I kind of like pantomimed how I would go about doing it, and I recited a poem as I did it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I dropped the weights, and then I did it without the weights, and it was like I actually, it's like taking a weight vest off. Yeah, yeah. And then it boomed. Fucking, I remembered it just like that. I was like, holy shit. That's cool.
Yeah, I'd have to try that.
So
yeah, mine was just like, see, now I'm trying to remember it too.
Yeah.
I know the guac is extra. I get it anyway. I'm always balling small scale every day in every way. Like if I call it Uber, then it's Uber Black. If you ring me up and give me coins, I'm giving it back. I'm not the type to hit the club and drop a big bill, but if your girl's thirsty, yeah, I'll buy the refill. You can stream my Spotify Premium, Hulu Plus. My YouTube is red, Amazon Prime, that's a must. And I don't trust water out the bottle, out the faucet. I get it out the store. Something a little more. I don't know, man. It's good.
Cool.
I remembered it.
It's so weird, man, because I'm trying to do another Inquisitor's Observations comedy poetry. I'm gonna do a part two now, and I have bigger ideas.
Yeah,
like the ideas there. It's like I never thought. It's like going to see Jackass 2. It's like, what can they do now?
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
But then like now I've incorporated more into these poems and shit, and I've incorporated more people, like duos, like duets,
yeah,
like that I have somebody, and so it, I'm like, oh shit, this could be a big production. So I'm not rushing into anything, you know. This is just ideas that I had. There's so many ideas that he just comes to out here is just a land of ideas. Yeah. Motherfucker, yeah, I can think of some shit because I'm not doing most of the time. I'm trying to just save money.
Yeah.
So I'm just sitting at the house not doing shit, thinking of what to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I've came up with an app already. Like I'm like, all right, that's cool. I've planned out my next three videos in my head that how I want to shoot them, and if I have to do it by myself, this is how I should do it and what I want to do if I'm so like I'm like, yeah, I got all this shit. I just gotta get to it, you know. I gotta get to doing it, but it's like a time frame because, you know, I work during the week,
right?
And
yeah,
so
yeah.
And it's not like I would have it's hard to meet up with other motherfuckers out here because everything is so far. And so
yeah, you just gotta have patience and just like take your time with the work, I think. Which things I think can be good because together. Then you can kind of craft it a little more. You start it and say you don't finish it, you're like, oh, I can really tweak this. Whereas before you would have done it all at once and put it out there and be like, oh, it could have been better if I had taken my time. I think it's kind of forces you to slow down a little bit out here with some of your stuff, which can be good.
Yeah. Basically, it makes you sit back and just and make you ponder a whole lot more.
Yeah.
Because you got places to think, though. You can go places and think. Because you can go places like, you can go hike somewhere, and you do beautiful scenery. just sit back and just beach. Fucking think, which is
yeah, it's good.
It's brilliant. You can clear your head out here. It's a place to gather your thoughts, you know. And shit, I'm still waiting for the rain, my nigga. Like the rain is gone, son.
It rained once, but it wasn't rain. And I remember my coworker was like, "I'm gonna go to the store and get dog food," and it was like drizzling. He's like, "Oh, I can't go now. It's raining." Like, it's not raining. It's like, you can still just like put a coat over your head or get an umbrella. She's like, I don't own an umbrella.
You smell the rain. Oh, that's so crazy. You smell the rain.
Oh, son, yeah.
Before it comes. Zip, come on, baby. Work.
Damn, that's crazy.
And it's crazy because, zabble, there we go. It's crazy because you fucking, you can smell it, son. It's like, ooh, that's rain right there. And then you look outside and be like, and it's just wet. It's just wet outside. I'm like, whoa, did I miss it?
I know.
Did the rain come?
I never thought I'd miss the rain.
Is it gone? I'll be wanting something, son. Just a little moisture.
Yeah.
Like, god damn. What you think about these people, though? These people out here?
People are just,
whoa. The beauty of motherfuckers out here. That's what I was getting
there's
at.
Some very attractive people
very
out there. But there's also very normal people out here, too.
Very much so.
But a lot of
very much so normal.
But it's great that there's a lot of normal people, too, because then I don't feel as much of it. Because I see attractive people and I'm like, oh man.
You don't feel that out of place.
But also you see people like that, you're like, you spend way too much time on that.
Way too much. Yes. And like that's all you do. You
revolve your life around, and that's like,
who fucking you? Who like, is you fucking? Yeah, that's what
like,
I want to know.
All right, man. Like, it's good to be healthy.
Don't seem like it's
but
fun.
But you don't
either.
Have to be full of vanity. Some of them is just like, look, I'm all about health, and like, that's great if you're doing it for health.
Yeah.
Sometimes a lot of people out here are just doing it to look as they want to look a certain way, and they're trying to manipulate their body as much as possible.
For what though? Who are you trying to attract? Who
you
trying? Oh, they're probably trying to land a deal. Oh yeah.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. Who knows? Who knows? But hey, I'll tell you what.
Everybody trying to land a deal or some shit out here.
I like me for who I am. I'm a pudgy little guy.
How tall are you? You about 5, you know.
I'm like 5'11".
Yeah, okay.
And I scoot around on my skateboard. I'm about to say
5'10", 5'11". You fucked yourself up, sir.
Yeah,
You tried to live your youth on this big ass hill that my car could not get up because
yeah,
it only firing on
the
3
hill.
Cylinders.
I tried to ride my skateboard down the hill, top to bottom.
Ooh, did you not look for the cracks in the road?
I didn't really think it
you
would be
an
issue.
You got at least scope
issue.
It out. You
I
didn't
think
it would
be
an issue.
As I was walking up, I was like, I can maneuver around that.
You didn't think
it
would
be an
issue.
But then I realized
issue.
I was going so fast, maneuvering wasn't an option. And I was like, nah, I shouldn't maneuver at all or I'm going to fall off this thing. But I was like, but I have to maneuver because a crack's coming up. So I was like, either I bail now and it's going to hurt because I got to just jump off and roll.
Yeah, or, tuck and roll, nigga.
Or I hope that I can go over this crack, like kind of like ollie over a little bit, right? Either way, I'm probably going to bail, but let me go with the second choice to where I might have a chance.
You
going
to try to ollie over?
Not like ollie, but just kind of like pop my front wheels over
and then hope my back
wheels have
enough
speed to go over, you know what I'm saying? So I went with option B. And it didn't work as planned. And I fell down this whole hill.
This whole hill.
I mean, like, I probably, like, here's what I did. Before I went down it, the top of it, I went up halfway and rode halfway to the bottom. Was
right,
like,
I got this.
Got
just
this.
To psych yourself
easy.
Up, you know, do a little
I've
practice
dropped
runs.
Into, like, bowls before. You know, I can skate a bowl.
Okay.
You know?
But
so,
bowls
like,
usually don't have cracks in them.
Exactly.
Bowls usually
they
don't have...
They
like,
don't, and there's usually an end to
actual
the,
earth that
you
gotta deal
with.
There's
not an endless fall that you're
yeah,
going
nah,
to.
Yeah, nah,
yeah,
yeah.
You're
a
right.
few earthquakes
they're
down
different.
Here. I'm pretty sure shit shifted.
And so I was like, oh, you know, if I can do it halfway, I can do it the whole way, right?
Yeah, okay, sure.
So I went up to the top.
This hill.
And
it's
honestly,
fucking
I was
high,
at the top
shit.
Of the hill, but
it's pretty steep.
I was at the top of the hill, and I was like, oh, I can. I should back out. I was thinking, I don't know if I can actually
too many people
this.
Watching, though. Huh?
But I had a lady friend
encourage
me.
Like,
oh, you can do it. And I was like, well, I told her I would do it.
Huh.
So sometimes you just don't think with your head. You think
she
with
had
your
faith
heart.
In you.
You know, she had faith
she
in
had
me.
She had faith. Not,
she
not,
felt bad because
it couldn't
she
have been,
encouraged me to do it.
Couldn't have been like that
like
much faith.
I felt like an idiot because I'm pushing on 29 years old and... haven't skated like that. I haven't skated in a long time, so
yeah.
Plenty of great skaters past their 30s. I'm just saying they've been skating their whole life. I've been skating recreationally maybe twice a year. You know, I don't get on. I just say I don't get on a lot. I used to when I was younger. Lately,
you just thought you was gonna do the big hill.
It's weird, man. It did. It screwed me up. I fell, boom, hit the crack, rolled down the rest of the hill. Well, I actually rolled left and hit a car wheel, so I'd not.
Oh.
If I wouldn't have rolled into the car, I would have just kept rolling down the hill. So I had to do what I had to do. Scraped up. I mean, as you can see, you saw this is like
yeah,
a week later.
You had meat hanging.
Yeah, I had some skin hanging. But yeah,
after the beach,
knee and arm bruised up on the side, but I've done worse to myself. So immediately I get up from this fall, and I immediately in my mind, like, I know where I went wrong. I want to do it again.
Yeah.
And it's almost that similar feeling of like bombing on stage.
Bombing.
We're just like, oh man, like
story
that
time.
Sucked, but I know what I did wrong. I want to go back up and correct it at the next show, you know? So I kind of had that feeling, but, it just gave me this like, man, I need to get back on it. And work it more because like I used to be so nimble and better on the skateboard, and now I'm like, I'm not
nigga.
Now. And I'm like,
now,
what happened? Oh, it stopped.
That reminds me that I'm gonna be doing some young man shit too to to say that I'm 34.
Yeah.
I'm going to be going trying out for the dunk team. The Clippers slam dunk team.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Oh, the trampoline and shit?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I know, right?
That'd be tight. You think you're going to make it?
Well, I don't know. I've done it in New Orleans. I was on the Buzz Patrol for a little bit.
Oh, shit.
But the thing is, I was on the Buzz Patrol. That's separate from the dunk squad. That they have. Now, I was able to get on the dunk squad, but I wasn't able to get to the practices, so I wasn't able to actually participate in any of the shows, but I was able to do it. Like, the first time I ever got out there and I tried out, I did a double front tuck on the mat, bop, bop, boom. And I was like, oh, shit. So, you know, I guess that solidified me staying there. But I've always been able to tumble. I haven't tumbled in a long time. You ain't really skated in a long time.
You tumble down the hill.
Yeah, I don't want to tumble down the hill. Just in case I break a finger or something. So I definitely need to go practice somewhere before I just hop out and just assume that I got
at the beach.
This. Yeah, there's different tumbling in the sand.
Yeah. But if you could do it there, you could do it.
I need to probably find some grass and just get back to practicing again.
There's some parks, a Baldwin Park over there.
I've been running, but it's hot as shit just be running. I don't feel encouraged to run. I'm not motivated to run.
I need to start running again, but my ankles.
I got bad
it's
ankles.
It's terrible. Ooh, you got them Bambi ankles?
I got them Bambi ankles or something, man.
That's not good.
I got too fat to where my ankles can't support me. So now it's like this double-edged sword. It's like, well, in order to not get fat, I gotta run. But my ankles are like, you're too fat. We can't handle it. Now I'm stuck.
I've been pushing myself. We got some pretty flat ground where I'm at, and I've been pushing it just to get back in some type of. I mean, I ain't never left shape, but just to get my wind back, like. I'm not nervous, but I am nervous just because, nigga, I ain't got no health insurance. Nigga, that's how we out here, nigga. We out here raw dogging it, goddammit. Fucking no health insurance, and I'm gonna go try just for another outlet of income to come in, you know? And, nigga, this motherfucker, like, the last time I've tried out, I remember one time I missed the mat.
Yeah.
Nigga. I like we jumping. How high is a regulation basketball goal?
10 feet.
10 feet.
Yeah.
There you go.
Is it 10 feet or is it 13?
Shit. Yeah. I have no idea. No, 13 is way too high. Yeah, 10 feet. Yeah. So yeah, we jumping about this height. All right. To dunk these balls and shit. And this is what we doing in the practice. And apparently, I overshot the pad. And missed the pad completely. Came down, landed on the floor with, just feet, just shockwave, went straight to my knee, buckled me. I walked it off. Yeah. All right, then I the adrenaline kicked in, and I just went and did a few more dunks.
Oh, no.
Got home that night, knee didn't work no more. Knee was done. Knee stayed in a bent position for like at least a week and a half. Fucked me up. I wasn't ready for that at all. Like that shit, it hurt so bad. Like it didn't. It hurt. It was that tickle hurt though. It wasn't like that type of hurt. It was like it was one of those type of hurts and. Like, I was like, man, I could really fuck myself up if I don't watch what I'm doing out here. So, I'm ready to go do it again. I would like to get some practice in beforehand.
Yeah.
Like, I know a nigga that's on the squad, that made the squad and shit, if the squad is still going. And, you know, I just want, like, motherfuckers to answer. That's it. Yeah. Give me a yes or no or something like that. You know, let me know something. If it just anything, it just put an alarm on your phone to remind you, hey, this nigga done sent me a question, or this nigga probably needs a response to this, or let me help this nigga out. Some shit. It's like, goddamn, motherfuckers be way too busy out here. Because you got it, everybody doing so much shit, son. The people doing like 4 things at once out here just to stay afloat. I'm like, shit, if my goddamn electrical job pay me just a little more, nigga, you know, I don't have to do shit else. I'm like, I'll be comfortable. But, you know, who knows? I'm just starting to get in good graces with them. We about to go to the Dodgers game, my nigga. They going to take us to the Dodgers game. I don't give a fuck about baseball, but they going to buy me drinks. So I'm going to go and get drunk with the Mexicans, and I'm going to be happy. It's going to be a fun fucking time. We're going to get off of work early and shit. And that's what they say. They say we're going to get off work early and shit. So that's nice. To go to a Dodgers game. Baseball. I hope it ain't boring. I want a hot dog from over there. I hope they got fucking Nathan's Franks. I like Nathan's.
They got good Dodger dogs.
Dodger dogs? They got Dodger dogs? Dodger dogs is a fucking hot dog over there. I'm going to give me a Dodger dog. Make sure I give me a Dodger dog. Gotta get a Dodger dog. What else they got over there? The Cervezas? I'm going to get to... They going to hook me up.
Gotta get the Modelo.
With the beers of choice out here.
Yeah.
They got a candy out here that I thought was a fucking watermelon pop, one of them project pops, but it had like some salt covered on it, and I was like, what the fuck is this shit? It really pissed me off. I was very upset. I was like, why would you cover this in like, it was like cayenne. It was like cayenne salt. I was like, what the fuck? Why would you put this on candy? This, you're gonna give somebody's child diabetes of the fucking root canal or something. That's weird to say. But god damn.
Dodgers are good though. They got Kershaw, pitcher. Great pitcher.
Oh yeah?
And this other guy, Ryu.
You watch baseball?
I do.
Yeah?
Keep up with it a little bit.
Huh.
Just a little bit here and there.
Have you been watching baseball since you were a kid?
I used to play baseball in high school. I used to watch baseball when I was a kid, yeah. I used to watch Cubs games.
So, would you say you had a pretty good childhood? How was your childhood?
It was good.
Yeah?
Oh, shoot. Sorry, this beach is hitting me.
That beach will get you.
Childhood was good. Played baseball, grew up in a house with two parents that were married to each other, had a brother, sister, did some hood rat shit though. I was like a little spoiled kid that didn't know he was spoiled. I was privileged, didn't know I was privileged, so I just like whatever I was given, probably like ran it into the ground instead of like taking care of it as well as I should have. But hey, sometimes you learn lessons hard in life. That was kind of what happened with me. For certain things, but yeah, good childhood for the most part. Great. Yeah, nothing too traumatic. I'd say I avoided a lot of I saw a dead body in the woods when I was like 10. But otherwise, avoided trauma.
How was that?
That was crazy.
Wait, was it a black guy?
No, it was in a body bag.
It was in a body bag.
Yeah, it was in a body bag. And I remember going to get my friend and bringing him to see it. I swear it was one of those like, hey, you want to see a dead body moment?
Really?
Brought him to see it. We didn't call the cops. It was gone the next day. Just a body bag in the woods. Yeah, I don't know. Probably should have said something, huh?
No, you're 10. Fuck it.
We didn't know.
Who cares?
We thought maybe it was we honestly thought it was like detectives had left it there. What?
Really?
Yeah. No, I'm like, I'm thinking that now. Like,
body bag.
I think we just told ourselves that because we didn't want to deal with it.
No.
We're 10. What are we going to do? Who are we going to tell?
Your parents.
Adults? And are they going to believe us? Are they going to want to deal with it? I don't know. I would.
Okay. I'm an adult now, and I wouldn't want to deal with
exactly.
it. I'm
going
to just be like, don't go
if
back in the 10-year-old woods.
My 10-year-old son was like, hey, Dad, I saw a dead body in the woods today. I'd be like, oh. This is why we don't go in the woods.
This is why we don't stay
like,
out of the woods.
Well, we learned a lesson, didn't we, sport?
Stay out of the woods.
Stay out of the woods.
Stay out of there.
What, do you want me to do something about it? You
first
fuck
off,
know.
First off, fuck you doing in the woods. Yeah. Like, who told you to go in the woods? Like, did I give you permission to go in the woods? Did you ask to
Second
go in the
all,
woods?
Why'd you come woods? Here? Did they follow you? Did they follow you here? Now I'm going to have to kill you, put you in the woods. You see what happened?
You see what you did? You see
you
what
you
did?
You put me
did.
In a pickle here.
It's a chain of reactions.
Jeremy. River.
God
Could you imagine?
Damn.
I heard someone, their kid's name today was River. I don't know, man. You know, could you imagine if I named my kid River?
River Buck.
We know. Oh.
River yeah. Buck. Come here, River. It sounds like a dog. I just feel
come
like I'm
here, River.
A, like if I talk to my child like a dog. River.
We do know a River.
It's just like. You River know Smith. A River? Oh, River Smith. That's right. Yeah, it's not. Sorry, River Smith.
He's a black river, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It would
what
be
a
different.
Weird, strange name, though. Smith is okay, is... last name. River Buck just sounds so country.
River
like,
Buck is not a black guy.
Or if you name your son.
River Buck would definitely
yeah,
not
no.
be a black guy.
Name your son after, like, your gun.
Remington?
Remington, come here, Remington. They call him Remy for short. Come here, Remy.
Come here, Remy.
Remington? What's another gun?
We need a pack of Marlboros on the counter.
What's another famous gun?
Colt.
Colt? Yeah, see? Every fucking redneck you know is named after Colt. Come here, Colt. Colt Buck. Colt, bring your dad a beer, Colt. What's another gun?
Oh, you threw another gun in there. Ruger?
Ruger? Come here, Ruger. Ruger, you're mouthing off to your mother. What did I tell you about that, Ruger? Now go load up. Go load up the truck. Gun,
get right? the fucking tents.
Get tents. We're going to camp this weekend, Ruger.
Make sure you get Mamaw's CPAP.
Look, go get your brother Colt, okay?
And C batteries.
And y'all going to play with your cousin Remington tonight because your uncle's fucked up on Xanax. And I got to go watch his kid.
Ruger, get the fuck out of the trash. What did I tell you? You're always going to get trash mouth. Every time Ruger. You're fucking the trash, Ruger.
Oh, here comes our dog. Come here, Paul. Yeah, like the dog, a normal name.
Paul. Three-letter words. All right, let me ask you these questions real quick, because I think this is always fun once I did the Countdown Chronicles.
It
was always fun to ask this question. You got four options, and you got four things to choose from.
Okay.
I always fuck that up. You got B1, raise one, sell one, and fuck one. Alright?
B1, raise one,
sell one, and
fuck
then fuck one.
Okay.
Yep. And your options are mermaid, mogwai, Mexican, or manatee.
Okay, hold on. Mogwai?
Yeah, mogwai is Gizmo. From Gremlins. Remember Gremlins?
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Gizmo was a mogwai.
Okay. B1, raise one, sell one.
Yep.
And fuck one.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to sell the mermaid.
Okay.
Wait, hold on. Maybe the mogwai.
You're going to sell the mogwai?
What are the other options? Mexican.
Mexican
and
a manatee.
And a manatee. Okay. Okay. B1, raise one, sell one. Fuck one. All right. I'll fuck a Mexican.
Okay.
So now I've got to.
You're gonna sell the mermaid. You're gonna fuck the Mexican.
Hold on. No, I'm gonna be a mermaid.
You're gonna be a mermaid.
I'm gonna raise a manatee.
You're gonna raise the manatee.
I'm gonna sell the mogwai.
Oh, good job.
And I'm gonna fuck a Mexican.
There you go.
Yeah.
That works. That's perfect. That's perfect. Most people try to be a mermaid and raise a mogwai, but I'm like, if you get a mogwai wet, you got gremlins.
Yeah.
You got an epidemic on your head.
Yeah, I figured out this little riddle.
Yeah, you sell that mogwai on the black market, you make a lot of money as a mermaid.
Or, you know, I could, yeah. Or my other option was I'll be a Mexican, I'll raise a manatee, I'll fuck a mermaid.
Ah.
And also.
And sell the mogwai. There you go. That works too. That works too.
Which I think I might take that option. I don't know if I want to be a mermaid. Because it's like, I would have to live like a secret life.
I mean.
Can I talk to fish
until you're
as a mermaid? 13.
Well,
like,
yeah, of course.
I'm like Aquaman.
You can be like this guy.
Yeah.
You can be
too
deep.
We're watching The Boys.
The Boys was.
Been on in the background.
Oh, man, it's so good. I enjoy the shit out of it. Like, I've been on my shit with watching things lately. I need to get more updates. I'm real techie, but I haven't been on my tech lately because nigga broke. But nigga, I have been able to watch my shows, and I've gotten through The Boys, and oh man, it's so real because it's like, man, if we had fucking superheroes, I'm pretty sure if one of them was a dick, it would be a very scary time. Very scary times. It's like, if Superman was an asshole.
Yeah.
So that's a fucked up world we can live in. You just fuck over somebody being a goddamn superhero and not giving a fuck about people.
Yeah, that plane scene was wild.
Wild. Oh.
No like, spoilers. Right, no, you're gonna be fine.
No spoilers. No spoilers. Yeah, we all right. Wow. Just, but still, I don't know when it's gonna come out. But damn, yeah, go see it. Go watch it. I used to ask people herpes or AIDS.
You said what?
I used to ask people herpes or AIDS, and but then somebody was like, "Hey, don't put that on there." I was like, "Oh, okay." But herpes or AIDS?
Oh, herpes.
Oh, okay. That was quick.
Yeah. Okay. Because I feel like one's deadly, the other one's like could just be embarrassing and unfortunate and could cause the later medical issues, but those medical issues can be treated.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, because I feel like unless you got a ton of money, you're not living through AIDS. Right?
Are you sure? They got the prep and shit now.
Oh, really?
I don't know.
Maybe I'm ignorant to it. I apologize.
Yeah, I'm very ignorant.
Yeah, don't put
to
that
it
on there.
Sure. It is okay. This has been fun, man.
It's been fun.
Good. Finally got one in the bag. God damn it. Got a goddamn beach guest. Now I hope the rest of the people just follow on in and, you know, I'm gonna get these up and rolling. God damn it. Jeff Buckaroonie.
Yeah.
Kyle and Buck. Yeah, it's gonna be something like that.
Yeah, it'll be our two bears in a cave.
Yeah. The bear and a hairless otter.
Yeah. That'll be our show. Bear and the hairless otter.
I was freezing out there in that water war. It felt good after a while though, but oh man, I was so cold.
Ready to plug my
torpedo
media?
Yes, please plug all your socials, man.
At
I don't know where they can find you
at. At Funny as Buck across all
platforms. Man, that's wild.
Sounds
that's
sexy
good
that way.
That
know
is good. At
across
Funny as
all
Buck.
Platforms.
All platforms. Also, man, you can check out his podcast. Let him know you got podcasts out here.
The Say Cheese podcast. Say the Cheese. Transplant podcast.
Transplants. Oh, man. That's so good. It's so
and
good.
And Morphed Comedy. Check out Morphed. That's like Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Boom.
Morphed Comedy. Just search that and check out the things that are going on with that.
Nice. And shit, I'm your host, man. This is the Maniacal Menace, aka Kyle Smith. You know, you find me at Maniacal Menace on Instagram, fucking Kyle Smith on Facebook. God damn, it doesn't sound as good as Buck. Doesn't sound as good as Buck. All these goddamn handles and shit. And maniacalmenace.com, man. Check me out. This has been Tell Me a Joke. We out. Whoa. Minutes from the future speaking in the present. Okay, now. That was a good time with Jeff. First guest on, right? And, I mean, shit. Podcast is out now and it's out and running. I didn't drop my first one. So just understand that this is all strange for you, isn't it? I'm breaking like walls and shit. But it doesn't even matter because I told y'all I was going to give y'all them Thin Mints and I almost forgot about them Thin Mints. So let me give y'all them Thin Mints, all right? This is by my Thin Mints. By my Thin Mints. Buy my Thin Mints. Thin Mints for sale. I need to make a quota. Because I'm trying to get this badge. You know, add another slash to the sash. I take Venmo if you're a little short on the cash. My mom can give two fucks and I'm trying to get my dad off my ass. He's always Girl Scout. I ain't spending another cent. My pockets is spent. Don't ask me again. But if you buy my Thin Mints, for instance, being black in the female, it gets intense. My hood is fenced in. Traffic can heavily influence. I'm being raised around drugs. Buying two boxes prevents my dad from putting hands on my mom when he's drunk. I peek the sneaks of two key bumps, and then he smokes at least three humps. But not before he rips the filter off.
You see my mama wilted off. You know they say a swole face make the quilt feel soft. Oh, how much? $10 a box. I mean, grievance. I'm a black girl, Scott, who's overachieving. I've been bred to hustle to keep breathing. I'ma sell out by the evening. This cute face and sassy attitude, I'ma be rich bitch like Oprah. By the age of 9, money Birkenstocks on your sofa. I could sell a pennies out your loafer. Get you a cheap lease on the Buick crossover. I wanna make money like that religion where everything's kosher. My dollhouse gonna have a dollhouse that double T time with real coasters. I got that work in the wagon. On my grandma, I ain't slacking. Teddy grams and juice box packed in a lunch package. I'm here for the long haul. The next time you wanna buy my thin mints, who the hell you gonna call? 8 years old slanging this cookie dough. I'll make your drug dealer look small. I got them peanut butter patties, caramel, chocolate chip, lemonade, small shortbread, caramel delights. Thanks a lot, peanut butter sandwich, and of course thin mints. It's whatever you like. You can call me the Great Bobina Barker, cause the price is right. I got these merit badges in my pink Remington rifle sight. I scare and I stifle light. I'm a goddamn delightful sight, that high school hype. Everybody know these thin mints go hard like a Tyson Michael fight. I siphon cycle tight, my money cycle like 1, 2, 3, 4. I'ma have so much money, I'ma buy all the toy stores. Get every color Barbies that I never seen before. As long as I got thin mints, they gonna come back for some more. Buy my thin mints. Buy my thin mints. Thin mints for sale.